January 27th, 2018, RLRD.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I intended to bring my list, of course, I leave it on my kitchen table, my list of my things I wanted to announce, so I'll try to remember a few of them when we get that far. We've had a couple of minutes that have been distributed to you. I will assume that you can have a chance to look at those, and we'll begin with, first of all, the meeting of January 27. December 16. And just ask if there's any additions or corrections, or should they be approved as distributed?
I have a correction, Darrell.
All right.
In the minutes under the section of dam report.
Yep.
For the mortar work, we have the amount repaired on the dam, like, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it read 6-7 feet by 150 feet. It should read 650 feet.
Oh. All right. I'm looking for it.
Can you find it?
650.
Okay. It's third from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Third bullet from the bottom? Mm-hmm. Okay. So where it says 6 to 7 feet deep by 150 feet, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it would say 650 feet,
okay. You see where that is?
Yep.
Right here.
I don't want people to read the minutes $65,000 on 150 feet.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate that change. Are there any other corrections?
In the motion regarding Zimbo's, Bonnie stated that there was one abstention, and I would like it noted that with my name that I abstained.
Okay. Okay. And that would be?
Under the old business, Annette Zimbo, and that goes back up onto the next.
Right, Annette Zimbo. Just simply add her name in there. Okay, good. Anything else? Okay, hearing none then, with those two corrections, do I have a motion to accept them?
I'll make a motion to accept them.
Okay. All right, it's second. Okay, it's moved and seconded. In favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Any abstentions? All right, we had a special meeting on January 11, right after our Rules Committee meeting. There are one page of minutes there with one issue that we discussed. Are there any questions about that? Again, as I mentioned to you, to leave a paper trail for the future, and these, of course, as you recall, I believe it says 16 times per year that we're supposed to be meeting, so we do have special meetings along the way, more than the 12 monthly meetings, and this is one of those. All right, all in favor of that, make a motion, please.
I'll make a motion.
Moved, seconded?
I'll second.
In favor, say aye.
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 Opposed,
aye.
No? All right, it's carried. Thank you for those. I have several announcements. I'll have to try to remember from memory what some of those were. Probably going to forget some of them. I probably should just begin acknowledging with sadness that some of you may or may not know that Tim Allen of Allen's Marine's wife, Terry, died.
Yeah.
I got word of that actually through Bob this week, and I called Tim, and his home phone in Belfast goes right to his phone in Florida, and I wanted to be sure that we weren't operating on bad and wrong information, and he said no. He sadly lost Terry through non-Hodgkin's lymphoma on December 21.
Yeah.
And he said it was quick. By the way, I asked him if it would be all right if I announced that here today. He said, yeah, it's not private. And basically he said the day that he buried Terry, they got the news that it was, in fact, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so apparently it all happened very fast. It must be that she had no symptoms and she was in stage four already. And I don't know how many days, but it was a very short period of time. So
the obituary was in the Cuba paper.
Was it? I didn't see it. And so at any rate, and of course, he's still trying to recover a month later, a bit of a tizzy on this. And I asked him if he had family and friends around him to help him make decisions and so forth. He said yes. I didn't push it as to exactly what, of course. He said he'd be back in the spring. And as if you know Terry, which I do, she was the heart and soul of the office part there. And so Tim's got to figure out how to make that business run again. And as we were speaking, he said he's washing the car down there in Florida. And he says, I'm just trying to stay busy. And he appreciated the fact that I called and that we were interested in what his situation was. And so I probably should just mention that I think, with your permission, I'd like us to just send a note card to him. And we have the address. Things get forwarded on. I don't have the Florida address, but I'm sure things get forwarded from his Belfast.
Okay.
So with your permission, we will send a card of condolences to Tim and family. So that's the sad note. A couple of other things. and what were they? Doggone it. I'll probably think of them as we move along here. Things that don't require any action, but I wanted you to be aware. Bob will give us an update on the road work and when we get to his report, so I won't steal his thunder about that. But that's going well, I can tell you that ahead of time, and for several reasons. I don't want to take more time. Shoot, I had five or six things written out, and I'm so sorry I didn't bring them. All right, well, let's move on. The town reports are in your packet if you want to refer to those. And let's move now to Bill and your treasurer's report.
Okay, I sent everybody, I hope everybody got it, this comparison of actual budget for 2017.
Yes.
Did everybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you've got the beginning schedule, which just shows each category and whether there was an increase or decrease in that category. And then the last one of the pages is gives you a detail of major numbers that are on this report. For example, the schedule shows detailed major repairs of $143,596. Did everyone see that on a supporting schedule? Or?
Mm-hmm.
And then property improvements of $167,928. You know, the major improvements obviously was we spent $51,300 on the final draw on the 2016 masonry work that was done at the dam. And then in 2017, we spent $64,423 on that. The other major item on there would be the down payment on the valves, which is $19,700. So that $143, you'll see it on the actual column under major repairs. We had budgeted for $100,000, so we were over budget by $43,596. The next category is property improvements. The major item there was $133,120 on the slope stabilization project. That particular project, if you recall, I gave you an accounting of that. At one of the meetings. This is a cash basis report. This is what we spent in cash in 2017. Of course, there were expenditures that came up that were in advance of this slope stabilization in 2016. And the I think the total amount for the slope stabilization was in the $150,000 range. That's on a schedule that I have, $152,812. So what I'm telling you is the total cost was $152, and in 2017, cash-wise, we spent $133. So a little less than $20,000 was spent in a prior period in 2016. As you can see from the budget, our receipts were $19,037 more than I had budgeted, and that was due to the $25,000 grant we got for the wash station. Of course, I didn't budget for that. I had no idea we were going to get a grant. And then to each individual category, you can see wages, major repairs. The big thing, we had spent $228,168 more than I had budgeted. And basically, that's the property improvements and, of course, the overage on the major repairs. Everything else was pretty close to what was budgeted. Now, at the end of the year, if you go to the bottom of that schedule, you'll see that there was a withdrawal from the dam repair fund to pay for, obviously, the slope stabilization and some of the other things that I talked about earlier. So we had to withdraw $158,000 from the dam repair fund. So our dam repair fund at the end of 2017 was $934,000.
First time for a while it's been below a million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a lot below that.
I know. Because
we won't get that $500,000 very quickly mm-hmm. from the state.
Right.
Is there any questions on this? Because did everybody have a chance to digest this? And maybe there's some expense categories you're questioning? Or...
Well, we always want to have more money than we have. And I guess I can say, again, thank you, Bill, for mm-hmm. your detail of not just month to month, but over the course of the year, pulling all this stuff together. It's beyond my comprehension and ability to do it myself, but I appreciate it when other people can. So.
Okay, just so you know, yesterday I uploaded and filed the annual report with the State Comptroller's Office for 2017. That's totally completed. The other thing I wanted to mention is some of you may get questions about our tax increase mm-hmm. on the county tax bills. Mm-hmm. All of you know we increased our tax assessment by 7%, and that amounts to $21,000. Okay? Mm-hmm. The tax bill I got, because I live in Rushford, said that our assessment went up 12.6%. The reason that happens is because I believe what the county does is I tell them how much I want to raise in tax revenue. They then divide it by the taxable assessed valuation of Rushford and Caniadea. Mm-hmm. Now, as the relationship between those two assessed valuation changes, for example, in this case, I'm assuming that Rushford went up in relation to what Caniadea did, so the Rushford people had to absorb more of the district's tax assessment. Does everybody kind of get that? But the important thing is we only raised the taxes 7%.
It depends on the equalization rate, right?
Right.
It's the equalization rate,
yeah, right.
Which is not our doing.
We don't know, believe me, I don't know anything about the assessed valuation. I just tell them how much we have in our budget that we need for a tax assessment. So it's there was a couple comments made on that wonderful website, I Love Rushford, but we didn't raise our taxes 12%.
It did not happen. Right. Again.
Okay. So if that comes up, you can hopefully explain it as to what, I'm sure it will, but that's what we did.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to explain that. Go ahead, Bob.
So what you're saying, Bill, is by the time you balance it between Rushford and Caniadea, it's 7%.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll get an additional 7%, which in our case amounts to an additional $21,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think if you look on the schedule this year, it was 304 was our tax revenue from 2017. That's going up to 325. Mm-hmm.
Could that have been a percentages per capita?
I don't know. I just think it's, I don't know how else they would do it other than take our assessment and divide it by the assessed valuation of the properties in the RLD in Rushford.
It's nothing we have anything to do with.
The properties on the RLD in Canyon Dia. Now, when that changes.
There's percentages there.
If that changes because of whatever reason, I mean, maybe a new house was built.
Right.
I don't know what changes. It's going to flip that back and forth, and their calculation does not account for that. If we had one tax base without the two towers, I don't think we would have this issue.
They have a lot less housing on the lake.
Well, actually, the opposite happened several years ago in Canyon Dia because Canyon Dia had done a revale and Rushford hadn't.
Right.
All of a sudden, I'm getting calls at work from these people that own property in Canyon Dia. What the heck are you people doing?
Well, you do know Rushford's doing a revale this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so probably, it'll probably be even worse next year.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah.
And Peter, I'm glad you're here. Is the date for the meeting of the revale, you know, when Russ tells us everything, April 7th?
I'm not sure.
Because if it's April 7th, it's not fair to the lake people because they won't be here.
I don't know. I don't.
That's beyond what we can talk about here, right? So can we, just to keep it focused.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to find out when that meeting is.
Okay. Anything else, Bill? I thank you for that.
Well, the only other thing was the insurance. I did contact Lee. And the question at the previous meeting was the deductible on our officers, our public officials, was $10,000. And to reduce that deductible to $5,000, we'd have to pay, our premium would go from $3,465 to $3,600. To decrease it to $2,000 deductible, it would go to $3,692 as opposed to $3,465. To decrease the deductible to $1,000, it would be $3,760 minus $3,465. The last number I gave you is actually below $300. So it's up to you guys if you want me to call her and reduce our deductible, but at what level do you want me to reduce it to?
I think it's a small price to pay for that protection, especially when we're constantly facing lawsuits.
Right.
That's right.
Right. All right. Is there anything else that you want to query Bill on relative to?
Could we have a motion on that, or
on which?
To whether we're going to what we want to decrease the deductible to? Does someone want to make a motion and?
I don't think we should.
To put it on the record so we have it somewhere in our minutes, that would be probably a good thing. You want to do that? Somebody else make a motion? Bill can't?
I make a motion. We keep the deductible.
Yeah. Keep it at $10,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's less than the other amount.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's at
$3,000. Bill, what is the actual dollar amount to decrease it to $5,000?
Just one moment here. Bill, he's asking the question, what is the actual dollar amount to decrease it to five?
It would be approximately, let's see, five, three, two, 200 and, let me get my calculator. Is that a calculator?
Yeah.
Well, just give us a round figure here.
That's what let me just have.
Well, at $10,000, it's only $3,400.
I know.
We have $5,000.
Okay, for $5,000, we would increase our premium $135.
But I'm confused.
Yeah, I am too.
If we right now have a $10,000 deductible, I see what that means. I see that. You currently
have a $135, you can lower it to $5,000 deductible.
Right.
Which makes a lot more sense to me.
We're
not talking about much money for the protection, especially when we face all these lawsuits, and any one of them could be against the board member.
Mm-hmm. Let me just pause here, just a point of order here. We do have a motion. I'm not hearing a second just yet. Just a reminder, if there's a lack of a second, it dies and you can have another motion. Or if you want to second it, we can discuss it further and then perhaps either vote it up or down. But either way, we're in limbo here. So what do you want to do? I'm going to wait for just a moment if there's a second.
I second that we further discuss it.
All right. So the motion then is to leave it at $10,000. And there is a second, so now let's just talk about this and decide how you want to vote on that. For $135, we move it from 10 to 5. Bob is seemingly arguing for it's well worth that cost.
Okay, to go from 10 down to 1,000 is going to cost us $295.
I see what you're saying.
I think we should go all the way down.
Okay.
All right, good, to all the way down to 1,000. Okay, I get you.
I think we should go all the way down.
The extra 1,000, did you hear that, Bob? If we went down from $10,000 to $1,000 instead of the five, the total cost would be less than $300.
Then we're responsible for that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So.
I think I want to withdraw my original motion.
Okay. Does the seconder agree?
I'm withdrawing.
Do you agree? I mean, you need to agree so we go draw.
I'm withdrawing my original motion.
We're going to start over.
We can vote it down.
Okay, yes, okay.
Okay. Let the record show, motion's withdrawn, approved by the second. Now, clean slate here. Who would like to make a motion? If you want to go to either 5,000 or 1,000 for those extra few dollars, it's like all insurances, it may never happen.
Yeah. I make a motion that we go to a $1,000 deductible.
And I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we move from 10 to 1, less than $300 worth that cost, perhaps. We never know.
Yeah.
There hasn't been an individual or several commissioners ever been sued personally.
No, that's never had. That's not correct. We had a lawsuit with Kay, and I think possibly Hutton Bay is part of that, but I can remember that Dick Hubbard made a report and got up to the chalkboard there, and each board member was sued at that time, individually as well as the board. So it does happen.
Well, I don't understand.
Did it ever go to full term? Did it ever play itself out, or was it withdrawn?
It went through the system. It went through court. It went on for a number of years. Each board member had to give depositions. It does happen, and it's not uncommon. I've served on a lot of boards, and it's not uncommon for lawyers today to sue the individual board members as well as the board.
I believe that would have happened around 2009 or 10. I remember reading the depositions. So, all right, that being the case, let's come back to the issue here. There is a motion and a second. Do you want to talk about this any further? Ready for the motion?
I guess I'm looking. Currently, we have a $10,000 deductible at a cost of.
No, that's all the insurance. That's our total. That's just on. Let me see.
That one.
Yeah, that's the cost of that. That cost would go up to this, if we went down to 1,000. This would be increased to this if we went from a $10,000 deductible to 1,000. That's how it works.
All right. Are you ready then? Mm-hmm. I'll favor the motion of moving to $1,000. Please say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Any abstentions? Let it be 5-0.
Hey, it was good seeing
you
all again. I'm usually here Monday and Friday mornings in my office, and I'll be at my store all day today.
Thank you. All of you know Peter Way, by the way. I trust that you do. Peter, I know. Thank you for kind of stepping in here. We're going to have a report in just a couple of minutes, Peter, and I'm sure part of that report is going to be by Bob relative to the goodness that both Rushford and Canadia have extended themselves for the road building, specifically some of the gravel was brought in, paid for by your folks, by Willie and the rest, and including some drainage pipe by Canadia. So we really appreciate the relationship that we've had between the towns and the RLRD over the years. So I just want to say thank you and welcome to your new role. I'm sure it's a busy one. Thank you. All right, we voted that, we've moved ahead. Is there anything else, Bill, that you think needs to go on the record in terms of your report?
No, I'm all set. Just so you know, I'm leaving for Florida on the 8th of February. We'll be back on the 12th.
Of March.
April.
Of April. It's a quick trip.
And just so you know, I've made arrangement with Teresa that I can call in and move money from the savings account into the checking account. The only little glitch I have is the Orbanox people want the funds wired to them. And I can't do that over the phone. Teresa said someone has to come in personally to arrange that wire. So what I've done is I'm going to go over that with Melissa Grasso about how to do that. Now, just so you know, there was a wire that went out in November, so that branch over there has all the information as to how to do it.
Okay.
So any future ones that I get, usually what happened the first time is they will send me a copy of the invoice plus their wiring instructions. So, I'm assuming they'll do that again because we'll have to pay an amount once the drawings are approved. And then we have to pay a second amount once the material has been purchased and received by them to build the valves. But those are the two payments possibly will have to be paid while I'm gone. But again, it's all with wires, there's no checks. It just gets wired from our account into theirs. And I deposited we got the tax check from Rushford just the other day, I think, Bonnie, and we deposited that into the money market account, so I do have the funds to make these payments.
Okay.
So everything's good. Okay. Everything should be okay till I get back.
All right, and you could always call me if you had an issue or if I can call you. I trust that'll be the case. All right, thank you for that, Bill. That again, year-end stuff, bringing that to us. It's so useful. Been in situations where part of a board where the treasurer wasn't always as persnickety as that person needed to be, and it is frustrating to have someone like that. And we do not have that situation with you. Again, your experience and expertise is very, very much appreciated. So thank you for that. All right. Big deals going on here has to do more with the dam and the construction issues going on. So, Bob, can you give us an overview of what has been happening in the last few weeks?
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
On the first thing on the list is valves, and the engineers and Orbanox are still going back and forth on some technical issues. Not much happened over the holidays. Hatch was pretty much closed up for a couple of weeks, and when they got back to work, Orbanox was closed for a week. So they are all back operating. We have, as I reported the last meeting, we received the drawings. Hatch has been going over them. They have now sent back questions to be answered. Orbanox has those. They've answered a couple of them and working on the others. So I expect in the next couple of weeks, probably, the drawings will be approved. At that time, we will need to send them a check for 10% based on the drawings. I've also had a chance to talk with Lee Gleed. Dave is one of our residents on the lake. His job and his company is moving heavy equipment, and he has offered his services and talked to his boss and have offered their services to unload the valves and put them in the storage building and then take them back out and move them behind the dam when we're ready. Woo-hoo. At little or no cost.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, That's what he does for a living, is move heavy equipment. So I told him we would keep him posted on timing of delivery. The next thing is the building, the storage building. As you know, the weather has not been very cooperative this winter for that kind of thing. But when the weather breaks, we jump in and do what we can do. I got to thank Daryl for jumping in and giving me a hand securing the building permit. We had a misunderstanding between Lloyd Sweet and myself. He thought I was getting the building permit, and I thought he was getting it. And so he shows up to work, and we don't have a building permit. Daryl jumped on it and worked his magic and got us the building permit. And so we didn't lose any time. We kept on working. So the concrete work to extend the floor is done. And the walls are up and framed, the windows and doors are framed, and as we get breaks in the weather, they'll finish the building. So it is going up, and it'll be done in plenty of time for storage. On the mortar work, as you can see from the report that Bill gave us, we had budgeted $75,000, we only spent $65,000. Which for a change, we were under budget. But as we know, that's a guesswork depending on what we do and how much time the weather allow us to work. But it would be nice if all of them could come in under budget. The road behind the dam, we were going to start that on January 2nd. It was so cold and so deep winter by that time that we delayed the delivery of the equipment to January 8th, and the weather broke enough so that we could get started building the road. The weather has not cooperated. If it stayed somewhat steady, would be helpful, but we've gone from extremely cold, deep winter, to 45, 50 degrees in rain, and that tremendous change in temperature makes it very difficult to get anything to get done. It's actually harder for us with the wet and rainy 45 degree weather because it's so soggy. The other issue we have is we're trying not to drain much water because we have to cross the creek and we have to work in that area behind the dam. So we can't have a large amount of water flowing out. So the lake is up about 20 feet. So we've actually started to be a little more aggressive drawing down the lake a little bit more. We've had so much rain and so much thaw and snow runoff that it's bringing the lake up faster than we can drain it. We can drain it faster, but can't keep working and drain it faster.
Let me just interrupt, Bob. Partly because the road actually goes across the creek. I walked down there probably a mile or so and couldn't go any further because there's a rushing creek. I could hear the machines up near the dam working. But yeah, it's a delicate balance to keep that creek low enough to get the equipment back and forth across. So sorry, go ahead.
But where we go further off, then we're actually working around where the water at the edge of the water. So the higher the water, the less work we can do. So, but we do not want the ice up around the spillway, up around the spill gate. So we're kind of balancing things between the weather and our timing to be able to work. But all in all, it's going pretty well. The road is cut back all the way and across, not finished, but cut in. And wide, we're about 15 feet wide, which should be plenty wide enough to get big trucks and cranes in there. And the ramp up and down, we have to build a ramp down to the creek and back out of the creek, is pretty well cut in. We ran into solid rock where we go down in, so it was a chore cutting that solid rock out of there. But they've got it widened up pretty good. And a gentle ramp for us to cross the creek. So we are cut in, trees cut down, and road goes all the way up to the spillway. Not behind the dam, but where the spillway comes up. And so that's most of the way in. Now we have a lot of work to do from there to up closer to the dam. years ago, when they put in the valves in 72, they actually shut everything off and they built the road in the creek. And they cut that down, made kind of a canal in there, which worked fine for them for getting their equipment in and out. The problem is, by digging that out, it let the bank slide off. The cliff behind there let it slide off and fill in. So we have a lot of work to do there to put that back. We're not going to go down the creek because we want this road to be able to last us so we can use it again when we put in the night gate valves in our next round of valve project. So it's actually coming along pretty well. I do want to thank, as Daryl mentioned earlier, we're getting great support from the town of Rushford and the town of Canandaigua. We had a meeting back in December with both towns, and Daryl and myself, and worked on what we need and how they can be helpful and what they can do and can't do. And the town of Rushford has paid for and delivered 4 or 5 loads of bone, that's rock the size of your fist. We had some very soft areas that we couldn't even get our trucks in and out, let alone a crane or a big truck hauling our valves. And Rushford delivered and paid for that. The town of Canandaigua has helped us. We needed 4 20-foot long sluice pipes to go in there. And they have agreed to pay for that. And they have, the body has picked them up already and in the process of installing them. So we're very pleased with the help and support we're getting from the town. And we will keep working forward. We're getting, Bill, you're going to be getting a bill from Short, because that's who's supplying the diesel fuel to us. So I'm sure they're going to be sending you a bill, so you'll know what it is. Any questions?
No, go ahead, Bob.
That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, okay, great. Again, you and I talked about this earlier, but no way at this point to tell whether or not we're going to be able to meet our February 8 deadline of 1 month with the equipment. We just don't know because of the weather?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
We don't know how many days we will lose because the water is too high or too wet to work in there.
And if we miss that deadline?
We missed it. No.
If we miss the deadline, what's the next move?
If we miss the deadline, we will rent by the week.
Okay.
At that point, we will reevaluate where we are and decide whether we want to rent for another month or just rent by the week.
Yeah.
How close we are to finishing. But the weather is always a guesstimate. It's actually been... When it's colder, except for the real extreme cold, when you're down in the teens and down the zero and below at night, getting that big equipment started in the morning can be a real chore.
Yeah.
Normally, they have heaters that they put in these big diesel engines that heat the oil and keep the engine warm, but we don't have that ability to clear out all the day.
We don't have
electric.
No cord long enough to get back in there, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the generator wouldn't run. They'd have to go in the middle of the night and fill the tanks up.
Yeah.
So they haven't had that problem because we have not tried to do it when it was quite so cold. Then on the other side, it's mushy and wet when it's raining and warm, and that makes it hard for the equipment to get around. So. You're right, the weather it's all about the weather, but overall, I think it's going very well.
Bob, excuse me, go ahead.
For what we're dealing with in the time of the year, it's going very well. To have that much road cut all the way back to the spillway is making real good progress.
Do you know if they're working Saturdays or Sundays or trying to make up? Today, for example, it's going to be in the 40s, maybe 50s here. It's, again, we're undulating back and forth between 0 and 50. Are they working today, do you know?
Yeah, they've been working every day possible.
Okay.
Whether it's Sunday or whatever.
Okay, Okay.
They know the meter's running on the equipment.
Right.
And they're trying to get as much out of it as they can. The equipment is working very well. The side, the bulldozer is doing a fantastic job. That's why when it's cold, it doesn't bother. That equipment is big enough, so even if the ground freezes,
right,
it doesn't slow that down at all.
Right, right. And just as a reminder, I don't think it's all public record, but certainly we're spending less than $14,000 for the month to rent these two machines. And you think about building a road and the length of time and what that would cost if you had some outside group come in. It just we're doing very well cost wise of getting this road in. So, thank you, Bob. Appreciate your staying on top of that, and we'll move on our schedule here, but. Thank you for being on top of that with them. As I knew what happened, I do recall some of the things that I was going to announce to you. Can I just circle back and mention a couple of things? I asked Bill a couple weeks ago if he would just check to see when the last time was that we replaced the computer in our office downstairs, and the answer is 2005. Well, as you know, 13-year-old computer system is not good enough. It's been working on Windows 7. It's not supported anymore, blah, blah, blah. We are moving ahead sometime within the next, I'm expecting, 3 to 4 weeks, we will have a whole new system downstairs for Bonnie. She and I are working on making that happen. So be aware that we're moving ahead. We just have to upgrade our system. Thirdly, I'll mention that we are now in the process of rejoining again NISFOLA and CSLAP, so that is another expense of somewhere around $700 for participation in CSLAP and NISFOLA. I think it's certainly worth it to us for the information. Sometime in probably April, we will get last summer's report, and now that we've done it a couple of years, we'll be able to see historically kind of how the lake changes and moves relative to the water sampling that Danny and Jim Pomeroy and I have been doing every other week through the summer months. One more point, we have now sent the annual dam safety certification form in, and we're in the process really of updating our EAP, our emergency action plan, and sending it out to all the stakeholders like the sheriff and emergency management and so forth, getting their signed form back so we can send it all in. So we're in the process of doing that. I know you've been losing sleep about this, wondering whether we're doing it, but it is in fact getting done. So yes.
Are we sending a copy to Homeland Security?
I'm sure we are.
Okay.
Right, Bonnie? Yes, it is on our list. It is on our list of addressees to send that out. So we're good.
So, Daryl, that's done, right? It just needs signatures.
Yes, we're okay. Just updating things like new names, new okay. phone numbers. There's nothing substantive to change relative to that.
Okay.
That was first put together in 2011 for us, and we've kind of upgraded it over the last few years. But there's nothing significant that's going to change in terms of our EAP. Yeah.
All right.
We just want everybody to know. For example, the new chief of the Houghton Fire Department is now listed there and hasn't been, so
yeah.
That kind of a thing. All right, let's move on. I guess, Chad, we throw the ball to you here. Can you lead us through the consent and the line items?
Yes, not too many on the agenda this
week. No, it's thin.
Very, very thin. We have one consent item, which is a Borelli burger that's actually moving their brake wall and replacing it, same exact footprint. No questions.
In favor of the one item on our consent agenda, please say aye.
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 All right. We'll take that as a motion that was seconded. Close enough.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I missed that.
Who did it?
All right. Bob will make the motion. He says, and is there a second to that? Just for the record here, because Bonnie was totally confused about what to write.
You guys all talked.
I'll second.
All right. In favor, we've already voted for it, so we're moving on. Line items, there are two.
Yeah, the first one is Stevens on Ryan Road. That's the cottage next to Bob Weed, which they removed the cottage this past fall. Actually, I think it was early fall or late summer. Before they do any kind of work on their dock, of course, they need to come in compliance and building, 500 square foot structure minimum, and they do know that. But they're hoping to get a permit right now to actually take a, originally it was, they have a deck that was attached to their former cottage, and they wanted to move that deck down to the on district property and put it on the lakefront, okay? Document map, and we felt that they could take that 14 by 12 foot deck and they can attach it to their existing dock as part of dock structure, but we don't like the idea of having them put that deck actually on our property and start the, how should I say, to start people building decks on district property.
Yeah.
So I did have a phone call with Mr. Stevens the other evening. I told him our concerns. I said, at this point in time, we're not gonna give any permits to do that. He does like the idea of taking that deck and making it part of his existing dock.
How would he do that? Is there a distance? What's the distance between,
yeah,
where's the line, the 1450 line relative to the lake? Is it a lawn?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's probably from here to Cartway.
So help me understand, maybe I'm confused. How would we take that deck and connect it to the dock without going on our land?
Oh, we don't have a problem with him moving it through our land. He was going to put it on the land, not in the water. Do you know what we're saying?
He was the lawn near his break wall, he wanted to put the deck.
Behind the break wall.
Behind the break wall.
The lawn.
Okay.
And our concern is that once we start doing this, people are going to start building very large decks, mm-hmm, and then we start having possibly gazebos, mm-hmm, and structures,
yeah,
and it just goes from there. So we don't want to start.
Yeah.
So we told him that he can take that 14 by 12 foot deck, carry it down, and actually hook it onto his dock, make it part of his dock.
In the water or on the land?
In the water.
Okay.
Now, that's right now, what we do have is we do have some people doing that, and maybe a few feet of it might extend over the break wall on our LRD land, which is fine.
To make it accessible.
And I told him a minimum of 5 feet is allowed to extend on district property.
So that's going to require posts in the lake?
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, it's gonna require a building permit from the town. He understands that, but first it's gonna require that he builds his 500 square foot cottage.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
And oh. So I talked to Bonnie, and this is something the board agrees on. It would be nice to have it approved, and once he comes in compliance, he'll come down to the office, tell us he's in compliance. I'll do an inspection, make sure he has everything in order before a permit is given.
Is Mr. Stevens, is this Larry Stevens?
No.
We're talking about a different Stevens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
These people just bought last year.
Okay.
All right. And he understands.
Is that the place right along the right of way that goes
yes.
down?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So are we understanding of what it is the issue is for this? Kind of agreeing with the recommendation of the dock committee to allow that deck to be moved down to attach to the dock. But again, there's a number of things to come into compliance at some point.
When's he going to start the cottage?
Well, he says this spring.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure if they're building one or actually it could be even like a prefab house, mm-hmm, they're going to put on there. Okay, so he says, he told me March.
Oh, no. Okay. That's not going to happen.
I just said an RV.
Can we have a motion so we can have a little further clarification as to what it is we're voting on?
I'll make a motion that Mr. Stevens is going to be giving permission to put the decking area on his dock once he has come into compliance with not only the 500 square foot building, but what about septic?
Yes.
When he comes into compliance, maybe is enough to be said.
Yeah.
But again, on his dock or next to his dock? I assume.
It'll have to be out on
it. Be attached to it.
Attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Or he might even.
Next to it.
He might even cut the walkway and put it there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And then there's plenty of room there.
There's plenty of room.
Yeah.
And we don't care how he does it.
Well, he's going to give me plans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plans.
All right.
Okay, then he'll has to get a building permit too from.
Yeah, from the town.
So is that clear what the motion is? Is it Stevens, first name? Help me with the first name so we have it for the record.
I have it right here.
Jeff.
So motion is that Jeff Stevens is able to move his deck to the dock area.
As per approved plans.
You're right. With approved plans and permit.
According to our policies.
According to our LRD policies.
Once he comes into compliance.
Yeah. All right, is there a second to that motion? Bob, are you able to hear that all right?
Yeah, I'll make the second.
I made the motion.
All right, Bob seconds it. Any further discussion? Favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Any abstentions? It's 5-0. Thank you. And the second one, please, Chad.
The next one is Thomas Will, who actually this past summer, he purchased the property. He's part of the Everly Dock Association. He does have a dock license, which the district gave him this past summer. He has a pontoon boat, and he has a lift. And what he wants to do is he wants to swap out lifts. I did talk to him this week. The lift he currently has is for a runabout. So he's going to purchase a new boat lift, actually it's from Bob Weed, for his pontoon boat, which is about a foot wider than the current lift he has. So that's the first thing he wants to do. The second thing is he wants to take, and because of the area he's in with his pontoon boat, the lift is on an angle. And he wants to frame it in around the lift. He wants to put decking, around the lift so he can easily access his boat.
Chad, I'm going to have to abstain from this because that's my dock area.
Yes.
However, I think this has to go before the Everly Dock Association.
Well, according to Mr. Will, he has permission from, is it Gordon?
Yeah.
He has permission from Gordon. He received permission last year from Gordon with a letter stating that he could put his lift on an angle. Okay. Now, the one of the things about this whole situation is it's a dock association. Okay, which the district has given this dock association a certain amount of space to use.
Right.
And according to the district, he is inside that space. Mm-hmm. Now, the boat will block the neighbor's slip. There's no doubt about it.
It's very crowded down in there.
It is.
Ooh.
But according to Mr. Will and the neighbor next door, he has been given permission to do this by the Dock Association.
Who's the neighbor?
Elliot's.
So, and this is the one.
I have a question. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Well, my point of view is, I belong to a dock association, okay, and people on dock association, they move slips, okay, they put lifts in. You receive permission from the association to do certain activities within your area that you're given by the Lake District. So if he's given permission to block somebody else's slip and that person gives him permission, then that's up to the dock association to make that decision. Now, if 10 years down the road, the person next to him sells, and there's an issue, then the dock association has to make a decision, say, hey, listen, you need to move your lift now because you are blocking a neighbor. So to me, for me to govern what goes on in that space, that's up to the dock association, as long as they're within their area.
Do you have any written letter from the dock association documenting this to put in the file?
We have a letter last year stating that he could put his lift at that angle.
Is it from
Gordon?
Is it from the group, or is it from the president?
I don't think
of the
group voted on it.
The president, according to Dock Association rules, the president of the Dock Association needs to give the okay. And that's up to, like I said, that's up to the governing body who's in charge of the Dock Association. Like, for example, my Dock Association has a president. If a person wants to put in a boat lift on my Dock Association, the president will give a letter to the district saying that they have received permission. Now, according to the bylaws of the community dock, the president may need to get a vote, he may need to talk or not. But what I'm saying is, if this happens and he's allowed to put his boat there, and Gordon says, yes, here's a letter, he's allowed, then that's from the Dock Association. Now, if a year down the road, wait a minute, you're blocking my slip, the Dock Association has to decide what to do in that case.
I guess my next question is, again, like I said, I'm going to add, because I didn't know anything about this. Do we have anything in writing from Mr. Elliott?
That's the neighbor who's, the neighbor whose area would be blocked.
Blocked, yes.
I don't think we, in this case, my personal, I don't think we do that, because then if we get a situation, let's say down the road, like for example, my dock association, we want to rebuild our dock, and one or two people say, no, we don't want that. Are we going to say, well, we got a letter from these two people that don't want to do it, so we're going to go by their? You see what I'm saying? If it's a majority?
I think the only trouble is if you're blocking somebody, you're blocking somebody.
Well,
and if there's someone who, if their dock association makes a decision to block somebody, it's only going to come back to these commissioners here to fix it, I think.
Dan, you've written something there. Do you want to just explain what you've done?
This is the existing dock here.
Danny has a chalkboard illustration, and Bob.
That hoist sits in there like this. We got the other hoist sitting here. And he's got a, what's that, 24 foot?
It could be. I'm not sure how big it is.
If it's 24 foot, it's going to end up.
Well, no, but now here's the thing I have written down too. He will need a letter. Okay, so he will block Mr. Elliott's slip.
This is Elliott.
Yeah, and he understands that. He understands that, and Gordon understands that, and Mr. Elliott understands that.
Do we have that in writing?
Well, that's the one thing we'll probably
6 months or a year from now, we'll never remember the conversation, so it would be good to have all our ducks in a row, it seems like. A letter from Elliott saying, I understand this will be blocked. A letter from the chair of the association saying, I give permission to do this. In other words, have a little packet or a file in the file before we say yay or nay to this.
Well, and like, I have some other issues. This is on a right-of-way, correct?
Yep. Correct.
It's a 12-foot right-of-way, correct?
Mm-hmm.
To the water, mm-hmm. 12-foot. Okay. There's a whole lot more space being used on the water than 12 feet.
Mm-hmm. About 85.
Yeah, Mr. Green is here, mm-hmm. correct? And at this point, I don't think Mr. Green on this side can get in, because Matlas, who mm-hmm. are on their property, and they whatever mm-hmm. they did is right, they're 5 feet off, whatever. Greens can't get in there. Now on this side, is that Bois's property?
Part of it.
It's been sold.
And Bois's property has been sold, so have the new people come to us? Because, I mean, this is bigger than just this in my mind. And now that I hear that Deb doesn't even know about this and she's on the dock association, I mean, does everybody on this dock association know what's going on? Or and what his proposal is, he's going to wood all this in around his new
walkway, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, that's even more construction in this really small. I mean, this is what he's going to fill in.
Well, I do understand, but that's up to the dock association.
And is he only blocking one person, or when he backs mm-hmm. out, is he blocking two people?
Where's the water? The water is down low, right?
Right.
I'm just trying to conceptualize this.
This is the lake.
The lake's out there. And yes.
If you think back to when we went there, when they were building the steps.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
That may visualize more for your work.
No,
how
proud
of the area.
No, I agree. And I remember thinking at the time there's a couple of places on the edges that, woo, you could get in there maybe with a, you know, small runabout or a wave runner or something like that, but a larger pontoon boat or whatever wouldn't fit. So, so is the tension here between, on the one hand, we've given them, what did you say, 65 or 85 feet, and that we just back off and let them decide how they want to use that space. But if that's the case, an awful lot of power seems to be given to the head of that association. And let's suppose that head now leaves, and somebody else is now the new head next year, and somebody's unhappy with the way things have unfolded. I guess I'm trying to understand how we might head off at the pass some significant tensions going on in that area.
People go around.
I think the difference in this situation, I agree with Chad, in most of these cases, we let the dock associations decide for themselves. In this case, we're blocking somebody off. And I think we need a letter from Elliot stating they agree, and we need to look at this a little closer on. I mean, that's a small area with a lot of people squeezing in there. They already have a bigger area than they have a right to. And so letting people build large structures probably isn't going to fit.
So your solution, Bob, is to have a letter?
I think we need a recent letter, last year, but maybe things have changed. A letter from the Dock Association and a letter from Mr. Elliott that he realizes what's happening. He agrees to it. Because I in this case, I agree with Bill, it's going to come right back out. If Elliott doesn't agree, well, he's going to be standing in front of us with a lawyer saying, you guys allowed them to block my boat, and I've had that there for 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I think we need more clarification on that before we proceed, especially there, because we've had a lot of issues in that area over the years.
All right, Dan, again, you want to say something from afar? Say it loud enough so Bob can hear you.
On the south side of it, there was a new pontoon hoist put in there by permission last year. I would recommend they parallel pontoons and make this a runabout.
Yeah, okay.
Because there are runabouts on that dockage.
Mm-hmm. My concern would be other people going around the lake seeing this, and then somebody else who wants to put a pontoon boat in a smaller area comes back and says, well, you folks allowed so-and-so to block off that dock. I can see where this could snowball. You know, but even though we say, it's up to the individual association.
But ultimately, we're responsible for the lake.
We're responsible for the space that we give them. But that's why we have a dock association. We don't have dock associations to all of a sudden say, we're going to, every decision you make, we're going to look at it. Okay, now, I understand this. I get it. If it was my dock association, we wouldn't allow this. But this is not my dock association. So if Elliot's saying, go ahead, take up my slip, and he gives a letter stating that, then and Gordon's saying yes, which is a letter from the dock association saying yes, technically we have one less slip on this dock now, then that is the decision of the dock association. Now on the other hand, if this pontoon boat is way off the end, hanging over an area that we don't allow, that's a little different. But the district gave this guy a license. He bought a pontoon boat last year, which he put on the dock. I understand, but
So is the Elliott slip gonna go away?
That's up to dock association on that. I mean,
if the Elliott slip is gonna go away.
Yeah, but here we go again. The Elliott slip's gonna go away till Elliott sells, and then he's gonna want his slip back, and here we go again.
That's my other question.
We have dock associations where people have to have their neighbor's boat pulled out before they can take theirs. We have a number of those. We have a number of those on the lake. Mm. This is the same case. Can Elliott still use a space? Yes, he can use a space, but that boat next
can
to
I just add reason. Something again? Wow. I can't. I know, but I can't really because I'm involved in this. I think last year, Elliott allowed another cottage owner to use his space.
It was this guy.
No, his last name is Losey, Tom Losey, who lives next to me in that kind of log cabin.
Is Tom Losey part of the dock association?
Yes, he is.
Okay. But he doesn't have a, he's not on the dock? I mean, he doesn't.
He is. He did have a dock space, but it wasn't very big. So he talked with Elliot, and I think, but Chad, I can't swear to that. I thought last year he was letting Losey use his space, but I could be wrong.
Can they everybody get together and reconfigure what's going on down there?
I think, yes, I think that's what we need is a dock meeting, but that usually isn't until August, so maybe we can do it in June.
Earlier,
yeah. But I think right now this guy does have a slip, right? Will has a slip.
His dock is just, he has a plans here, he has. Like I said, I'm not saying if it was my dock association, but this is not my dock association, okay?
I think there's other things going on.
And it's not like, I'm just saying.
I think it needs to be tabled.
I think you need a letter from dock association Elliot.
All right. I don't think we have a motion on the floor, right? We're just kind of talking about what his suggesting here. It sounds like we're reluctant to just go ahead and approve this. And so I would entertain a motion then to request that we solicit letters from Elliot, from the Dock Association. And again, I'm concerned that one person's making all these decisions without other people on the Dock Association knowing. But I guess if that power is extended to the president of that dock association, I guess so be it. But anyway, the dock association letter needs to be in the file along with Elliot to be able to approve this. And as Dan has pointed out, perhaps a little bit of coaching would be a better, how about we try it this way and nobody loses out on space? I mean, maybe there's another way of configuring this.
How many people are in the dock association?
And let me just finish my thought here. So does anybody want to make a motion to put on the floor here with a second, and then we can talk further about whether or not we like that.
I'll make a motion that this decision be tabled. Do we need more?
Well, it isn't a motion at this point in time, so it can't be tabled. So we need to get it on the table here. So somebody move it so we can either table it or.
How about just, I know you have a motion going, but how about we get letters and then bring it back next month?
So we do that without any motion then?
I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of getting more information.
Okay, so let the record show relative to this item on our agenda that the board has by consent to have more information, including letter from Elliot, letter from, who's the other one?
Gordon.
Gordon, parenthesis, Dock Association. To make sure that all people are aware of what is being proposed. All right, and that will appear on our agenda, I hope, next time around. Okay, just maybe make a note of that. So, all right, is that good enough? We're done with that, then we can move on? Thank you. All right, anything else? There's just those two, I guess, right, Chad, that we don't need? Yeah. Okay. In terms of committee reports, there's no report from communication, environmental, finance. Do you want to talk about anything at all? Or?
I have one thing for finance.
What?
I have one thing for finance.
Okay. Go ahead.
You and I talked in the office about a letter we got from Municipal Solutions.
Yes.
And just so you know, in 2017, we paid them $3,555 so far. And my concern when I talked to Daryl, because they want to, I think the letter, they want to know if we want to move ahead.
So move ahead only for this next year, that is, they have a contract. Here's the way it works, according to the way Jeff talks about it. For him to have any contact with us, we have to have some kind of a retainer agreement. We don't have to pay them anything, but just an extension so that if we did not sign the contract that I signed back in August, I guess it was, we'd have to go through this whole process before we could actually have a meeting. So what I was suggesting that we do is that we sign that contract in that it would now be on the shelf, that if we decided in April to have a meeting with Jeff there, everything would be fine. He could come, rather than having to go through this process at that point. So it doesn't cost us anything to sign that. It's just an agreement that we are continuing to use them as we move ahead.
The point, go ahead.
Did
Didn't we approve that last time?
We just got the letter, I think.
So what did we, I thought.
I'm not sure.
Which one did we approve last time?
I thought we approved a you know, to.
An agreement that we would.
Right.
Yeah, and I thought that's what we did too.
I thought we did too.
Yeah.
I was looking through my notes.
But anyway.
The only concern that I have, we've got a brand new town board, basically, let's face it, in Rushford. I mean, do we want to keep paying fees if they're not going to sponsor a bond for us?
But.
I mean, we paid this guy $3,500.
But we're not.
We're going to pay him another $3,500, and the town of Rushford says, well, we're not going to do this bond.
Yeah, but the point is, we're not paying him anything.
No, we already paid him $3,500.
Right.
Right.
But we had a number of meetings with him.
Are we going to have, are we going to pay him another $3,500 without us first researching whether or not the town board of Rushford will go along with sponsoring a bond?
The problem with that, Bill, is that say Rushford does go along with us, then we have to start over. So by keeping them on as, in other words, we're saying to them, if we need them, we're going to use their firm. And it doesn't cost us anything to do that. And it gives us time to find out where the new board is.
All right, the point I understand that completely. The point I'm trying to make is that we already paid them $3,500. I don't think we should pay them anything more until we have an understanding from the town of Rushford.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
I don't think there's disagreement about that.
That's all I want. That's all I was trying to.
So if we decided to have a meeting next month with them, then we'd have to pay for them for that. But you're saying before we ever had that meeting, we need to be sure that the board.
The town is still on our.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that has been signed and returned to them, so it is in our record, I believe, that we have that. We have one other one a little later on to approve here, but.
I mean, I think Bob would agree with me right now. I mean, once we finish this valve project, you know, the next phases, we have no idea at the present time of how much funding we would need. We don't know what these projects, for example, are going to cost.
For the knife fight gates.
For the next couple of projects that we're going to do.
Right, right.
And.
I might add, just as a parenthesis to this, it's somewhat tangential, but has to do. Remember, we had a meeting both with Jeff and his, I believe it was his son, right, was here. And we sat right over here with Tom Becker from Bath, the USDA representative. Tom and I have been back and forth by several phone calls, and he was asking, because he's working on this with us, what it would involve to have the rural development arm of the USDA to extend to us a grant or whatever. And the grant reviewer asked Becker whether or not we have a relationship with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers relative to flood control of the valley and so forth. So I'm on the horn with Tom Thomas saying, Tom, do we have any letters or any documentation indicating that we have that relationship? Well, it turns out we don't. It's just been, and it's not required, but we cooperate with Mount Morris. Every time we release water, we call Mount Morris saying we're releasing water. We don't have to do that by law. Mount Morris says, hey, thanks a lot for that, but it's not a requirement. And so I've been in touch with the folks at Mount Morris. He's referred me to the water management head guy, Keith Kowaleski, in Buffalo. We're between phone calls. I called him yesterday, he's going to call me back. All that to say, to get information, a letter signed by the Army Corps so we can send it in so we can keep that aspect of our finance seeking going. But wanted you to be aware, it's a little confusing perhaps, but there is something going on that front. So there may well be, at some point in time, an application come to us saying, here's $300,000 and we can get to through the USDA, and I'm sure we will at that point turn to Jeff Smith to help us complete that application. So it's good to have him on board, but we probably won't pay for his services until we agree ahead of time that it's worth it.
Okay.
Sorry.
We have to remember. We have to remember that this is not just to fund projects. This is so we are set up and ready to go. For example, when we're all done with all this valves and things, we're going to have about $200,000 left in our emergency funds.
Right.
And so let's say we have a major storm and we have damage to the spillway or wherever. and it's $500,000 or $2 million for the repair. We can't start this process then. It takes 2 years to get from the point of saying you need X number of dollars to the point where you can collect any money. So that's why we're moving forward with this and keeping everybody moving forward, although not at warp speed, but at least everything moving forward so that if we find ourselves in a situation where we have an emergency with no money left in the fund waiting for the DASNY money to come back, we have the ability to borrow this money or bond it or whatever happens.
Yeah, so what we've basically done with Jeff Smith is, as we know, we have simply signed the agreement that we're going to continue to use his services if and when we need it, the way we would with a lawyer. We don't pay them for work that they don't do.
I just wanted to make it clear, I don't know what's going on with this new town board today.
Yeah. I don't
know if they're going to be as friendly as what John Jessup was to this bond thing. So
right.
We don't know at this
point.
Tell it could be. Yeah. All right. Is there anything more in terms of Finance Committee? Any other report?
No, we haven't had any meetings. Everyone's gone.
Okay.
We're still working on the fundraiser. We'll see how that all goes.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Let us know so we can get that
recorded. When are you going to be doing a mailing? Or when are we going to be doing a mailing?
What kind of mailing? You talk about newsletter?
Yeah.
Probably April.
Okay.
Yeah. Rules Committee next meets February
7.
February 7 at 7 downstairs, and it will be the first of several stages in which we review the strategic plan and also deal with septic system requirements. We've been talking about that as wanting to firm up what we mean by septic system approval. That's still in process.
Yeah, Chad was going to do some drawings for the Dabowski Memorial, and we're going to be reviewing our guide for the policy for use for district property.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Remember, we were going to be looking at, forgive me, I said strategic plan, I mean the guide.
Mm-hmm. The guide, yeah.
And we were going to do the first two sections, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. Okay. From a legal liaison point of view, I have been working with Joe over a number of things. One, he reviewed our letter to Meadowlands East, as you probably know, but that has now been sent. We've also asked him to deal with our food truck issue, and we've not heard back from him. I was hoping we could have something today to be able to move it forward, but I've not heard from him, and I will absolutely have something for us in our next meeting for sure. I'll really push him on that. There is no old business here. The new business approval of the consulting retainer. You recall we've moved from 1st of August to the 1st of August, and we've now moved it to the January 1 that has come in from Joe. It's a bump up of $5 per hour. I think it's very reasonable. Nothing else has really changed other than the fact that he has a new lawyer in his office. Forget her name now, but and so if she were to do some work, there would be fees there. But generally speaking, the only change is from is a $5 bump in what we had last year.
I think her name's Amanda something.
It could be. I believe it's a Hispanic name. Mm-hmm.
Could I get a copy of that retainer so I can check the bills when they come in?
Do we have that downstairs? Yeah, go to see Bonnie and we can do that.
I'll see you on Tuesday.
Can we have a motion to approve that for the record? The new retainer for 2018?
I'll make the motion.
Been moved and second?
I'll make a second.
All right. Mary Jo seconds it in favor of the new retainer and a motion to approve the new retainer. Say aye.
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 Opposed, no? Thank you. Is there any other item of business that we should just, even if we don't act on it, that we should just be aware of that I've overlooked?
Dredging. Where are
the
we
drudging or the dredging?
Dredging.
It is drudging, I know.
Drudgery.
Do we have any report, Chad?
No, I emailed him last week and just waiting for his approval. Now, the question he had was, and maybe somebody here has a good idea, where will we put material once it's dredged? Because there's going to be quite a bit of it. I did not have an answer besides away from the lake. I said, you know, hopefully the town could possibly use it for something, or, I mean, there's a lot of, I also told them there's a lot of areas on district property that we own that could use some fill.
That's near the
what,
lake.
What is the issue with, you dig out gravel out of a lake and you truck it off, is it supposed to be contaminated? Are we supposed to bury it, or why is that a problem?
To me, it's just moving it from here to there.
The issue, it's not an issue, but the difference right now is there's somebody new over there compared to who I was working with that knew me pretty well. There's somebody now brand new and they are going straight. But so I feel we'll have no problems, but the timeline's a little bit different, but we should know, I hope, by next board meeting.
Well, the reason I'm saying this is that it seems to me if we were going to bring gravel into the lake, all right, DEC would want to know, you know, what it is. But if we're taking it out of it, what's their concern?
Making more water.
His concern is the material we're taking out, number one, is it contaminated, which I said no. Number two, where are you putting it? It's always been an issue. Like, I do know, like, over by Dave Hirsch last year, that area was dredged.
Right.
And he was allowed just to take that material and put it right behind his cottage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's up on top of the hill. He was given permission to actually take it, put it on top of the hill by the road, and to make a parking area out of that material.
Huh.
Currently, that area was dredged again this year, and the material was allowed to be taken out and put in front of his cottage until the spring where they're going to transport it up. But that was with somebody else who was working at the DEC. So the new individual working at DEC right now is going to take, it's going to take a little bit longer.
Do we need a new parking area someplace?
She's trying to get rid of what I have. I don't want new. The last time the lake was dredged at Rush Creek, didn't they just push that all down into the lake bed?
They did.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, this individual will not allow that. The first permit I filled out and sent in, there was no hesitation from it. As soon as he found out that we were going to take the material and move it to a different area in the lake, it was an absolute no. We don't. And he gave me a number of sites on DEC to read that says it's not allowed. So,
Wow.
What about up by the dam? You need it up the middle?
The problem with that is if we're even going to be able to afford it right now with hauling the material out of it, that's your biggest expense. Moving it around and putting it in there and taking that out of there is relatively inexpensive. Once you start hauling dump truck loads down, it gets real expensive real fast.
Trucking's more expensive than the material.
That's why I was wondering if the town would be interested in helping us on the situation.
Maybe Willie needs help.
And it's a lot of silt, topsoil, silt type material. It's not really gravel. The gravel's underneath it.
Yeah.
Most of it's just silt and topsoil.
So you asked the question about where we are. Basically, where we are is Chad's report.
Just wait.
Okay.
We're still in the process.
One other thing that I have, Chad, just I did a projection to see how our money's lasted. Are we going to get anything from timber, do you think?
That's another issue. I saw the guy yesterday again, and I asked him what's going on.
The issue is timber, Bob.
And there's nothing else I can say. I mean, he's like he's waiting for them to harvest because he does not get paid himself, the consultant. So, and he has contacted Allegheny Hardwoods a number of times, and he's at their mercy. And all he said to me was, if they don't do it this year, he goes, you made $27,000 for nothing. And next year, find somebody else to harvest.
Who paid that $20,000?
It was Allegheny Hardwoods.
Allegheny Hardwoods.
Wow.
They haven't paid it
free
yet.
Money.
We got it. Yeah, we got it in 2000.
We got half of it. We got half of it already given to us. And the way it works for a contract is, if they don't do it this winter, before spring, then they're out of the contract again. And I told the consultant, I said, if it happens again, we're not re-signing with them. I said, because we need the extra. So he goes, well, at that case, you can go anywhere you want, and they can do it all over again.
Would he work with us, with somebody else? Or is he their agent?
No, he works with anybody.
Right.
He gets the best price. So at this time, at the time he did it, Allegheny Hardwoods gave him the best price.
Okay.
He could shop around somewhere else. And get
okay.
So we could.
Lumbers.
We could actually, and I'm not sure. It'd be sort of interesting to find out as the price has gone up since the last time they marked it. So maybe it's in our best interest for them.
Yeah.
Not to harvest.
Maybe
up.
Just not to harvest. Yeah. And let the contract expire, go to somebody else, and yeah.
And we might make it a lot better.
So we're not in a bad situation.
No. It's just I know Bill's waiting for that. That might be nice, but
right.
It might actually be money in the bank, though.
All right.
There is another huge tree that came down in that last high water event that's sitting out.
The one by Sandy Beach?
No, by us.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Another big one.
Sure,
it's sitting on that small island.
Can I get to that to saw? You think I walk out there?
Well, yeah, as soon as it gets hard again, maybe.
Yeah. I know a big pine fell at Lakeshore Drive on Sandy Beach. Real big. I talked to Bob Palmer, so I'll cut that one up. He'll come because that's bigger down.
Well, this is down in the creek, in the lake bed, and a couple more docks came down. They should be out there someplace.
Let me remind you of our meeting on February 24 at 9:30. Unless I hear anything else, I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn. Unless I hear somebody from out there in the large audience
the
who really
gallery.
Has something he wants to say, that would be only Dan, Bob, just for your information.
I guess,
and Ralph, of course.
You and I are going to be taking a trip.
Yes, I probably should mention that over the weekend of May, 4-5, we will be going to the NISFOLA conference in the Adirondacks. Dan needs to get his certification relative to the sampling. Jim Pomeroy and I did that a couple of years ago, and Danny's been helping us with that, but technically he can't sign the form. They don't want him to.
I sent the papers in.
So we're ready to go. There will be some cost to that. Bill, you'll be back by that time, but we'll probably need to talk with you about that. It's not in Syracuse this time, it's up at Lake George.
Oh,
so
nice.
We'll need to take a longer trip. We've gone over, you know, leave at 4:30, 5:30 in the morning, drive over, do the whole thing, drive all the way back. That works fine for Syracuse. It's tougher to do that at Lake George. So we probably will have to spend the night. And
it's
so,
a two-day conference.
Darn.
Right?
Well, it's a three-day conference, but we're only going to be there for the CSLAP testing assessment. We'll probably go Friday, come back Saturday. So there's going to have to be a night there. Now, maybe we go down to a Motel 6 somewhere nearby or whatever. I don't know.
Or pitch a tent.
Pitch a tent. In May, I guess you could probably do that.
Hope that Dan doesn't have to have a root canal before this one, because
yeah.
That's what happened last
time. That's right. That's why he didn't go. All right. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
All right. It's been moved, seconded.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor, just leave.
just go.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your, hopefully your ear is not too sore.